Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, son?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well, getting fired up about the weekend. I got my Hawaiian shirt on. I'm getting in the spirit, and it's only Thursday.
That's pretty impressive. You got big plans? It's Memorial Day.
I do. I'm going to go. I think we're going to get a chance to see my buddy play the trumpet on stage down there at Piedmont. And I think we may do some of Holly's Ribs this weekend. So it's going to be a fun time.
Sounds like a good weekend. That's right. Memorial Day is in Atlanta. There is the Atlanta Jazz Festival. If you guys get a chance to check it out, it's at Piedmont Park. And I think it runs Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And my son will be performing. That's what Stone's referring to on Saturday. And with the Rialto kind of junior jazz band for middle school kids. So
that's a really fancy name. That's
something like that. Nicely I don't know done. The name.
And I'm surely there's another Jackass movie out by now. So
hopefully.
We'll all go catch up movie. But you know, most of us, we have to cook our own food over the weekend. We don't get invited to the kinds of things that you go to.
No, last night I had a great event, and it was an Atlanta Business Radio event, which you chose not to attend. But I did get to bring Amy Otto, who was, you know, the original co-host on this show.
Right.
And we got to go to a dinner at Bacchanalia, which is one of the finest restaurants in town. It was sponsored by RIM, the Research in Motion folks. And they have a new product out, and it is called the BlackBerry Playbook. And I saw you got to play around with this. And it's the new tablet in the market to compete with the iPad and the Amazon Kindle Fire. You have a Kindle Fire.
I've got the Kindle Fire, and I use it in the studio just to kind of keep me on track. But what I liked about the BlackBerry, the video on that thing is just crystal clear.
Right. The video, it's priced in the same ballpark as the Kindle Fire. And the video, as a media playing device, I think it's better than the Kindle Fire. It does the same Wi-Fi thing. You don't have to be a BlackBerry user to actually buy the device or use the device at your house. But if you are a BlackBerry user, obviously there's some benefits because it plays nicely with your BlackBerry at work. But it has a camera, which the Kindle Fire does not have. And I can record video and take pictures with it.
Sweet. So now we have a new studio camera. And we take pictures
right.
of people at the end of the show. That is very cool. So tell me about this thing last night that I missed that you and Amy probably didn't even mention to me.
Yes, we forgot to mention to you. It was a great event where they came out, and it was a bunch of journalists were there, and then we...
A bunch of journalists and you.
And me, and Amy.
Right.
And we got to play around with the new device, the new tablet, the Playbook.
What's it called?
The Playbook.
It's called the
BlackBerry Playbook.
Okay, so about the same price as a Kindle or iPad?
Much
you know, for those of us who have to buy stuff, then
much
we don't
cheaper
get it.
Than the iPad. Much, much cheaper than the iPad.
Yeah?
It's about the same price as the Kindle, and it's more robust as a media device, I think, than the Kindle.
Okay, so but you can email back and forth, all the stuff you would do on a pad.
Right. It's right. Same thing, all the tablet goodies that you could do, but it also has a camera. I mean, that's the big thing. You can do the video chats and things like that.
Well, I'll tell you the thing that I saw, too. Am I right? You can plug it into other stuff. Like, you can plug
right.
it into your TV and watch the movies that you have and all
right.
that jazz.
You can do presentations off of it onto TV screens or monitors or watch
cool.
movies on it. You can do there's a whatever that HDMI port is in there.
That's cool.
So it is similar to each of the devices that are out there, but it has their own little... kind of stuff.
And so are there BlackBerry people here in town, or we're going to connect them on the website when we post this show, or what's the dealio?
I don't. The people here that were there last night were from Canada. That's where Research in Motion is from.
We don't have a Canadian sponsor. We need to get to work on that.
Work on that. And then there was some of the PR firms that they work with, and they're based out of New York.
So were they unusually nice, the Canadian people?
Yes, but
what's the rap they get?
It was interesting. One of them said he didn't like to snow ski, which a lot of the people were shocked by. They assumed everybody in Canada is snow skiing everywhere. But he did say he liked to ride one of those motorized things, snowmobiles.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
I grew up in Pensacola, Florida. I know the
have
first
snow
thing
there.
About a snowmobile.
Yes. It's like, you have those ATVs?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody like that,
gets
but in
a,
the
or
snow.
A mule or something
a
like
mule,
that.
A mule, right. Similar.
Have you ever seen the show, what is the Duck Dynasty?
No.
I grew up in that environment.
That's your environment? Very nice.
Catch that sometime, if you, and then you'll know. But I grew up on 8 Mile Creek Road. So if that gives you any insight into that.
Was that an accurate description of the area? Was there an 8 Mile Creek?
There was. and it was about 8 miles from town, very close to my house.
Now, if you're interested in learning more about the BlackBerry Playbook, you can go to blackberry.com/playbook, and it's got all the information there.
Way cool. All right, good stuff. Well, thank you for putting in the time and the labor.
Overtime. I was there until I didn't get home until like 11 o'clock last night.
Oh, my goodness. Well, after the show, you can have the rest of the day off.
Thanks.
And we are going to have a show, right?
I hope so.
Terrific.
Do you have people here?
I do. A little bit later in the program, we are going to hear from Ron Rizzi, and he is with this Drive to Survive outfit. So I'm very interested to hear about that. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you from Falcone Designs, none other than Miss Rosie Falcone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are delighted to have you in the studio. Spruces things up here a little bit. So you are an artist, but I don't think you're a starving artist. You've got a real legitimate art business. Tell us a little bit about this business and what compelled you to get into it.
Well, I've got a business that I do on my own, so I'm kind of my own boss, the artist, the marketing person, kind of all in one. And I do murals, I do pet portraits, I just illustrated my first book, so I just do a little bit of everything. It's, yeah, whoever wants to commission me, you know, I can do from stick figures all the way to, you know, huge, you know, 10 by 10 foot paintings on the wall. So
how'd you get into this? As a kid, were you the girl who drew?
Yeah, as a kid, that was my, you know, most kids were out playing sports or doing dance. I was sitting there with a piece of paper and crayons, just kind of, you know, doodling away. And I knew it from a start when I was little that it's probably what I wanted to do. So,
well, I want to hear something from the business side of this thing, because I have a nephew, God bless him, very talented and does some really cool work. Did a mural at my home office.
Oh.
And very, very cool. But he also has a job. He doesn't make money as an artist, and I get the sense that's true with a lot of folks. How did you turn the corner and actually make a living out of being an artist?
I started my business because I couldn't get a quote-unquote regular job. So
it was art or radio?
Yeah, it was art or radio, and I wasn't sure about the radio part. So it's funny because I used to have dreams. I had a regular office job, and I'd be doodling, and then I'd sleep and have dreams about me painting murals on the wall. So I said, okay, there's got to be something to this. So when I first moved to Atlanta, I couldn't find a job, like I said, and so I kind of brainstormed and thought, what can I do where I'm not an artist just painting a painting and then waiting for someone, you know, to buy the painting, which I think is what happens to a lot of artists, is especially now, you know, they struggle a little bit with painting what they like and then hoping someone will like it. And so my sister-in-law had a baby at the time, and she said, you know, have you ever thought about maybe painting something on the wall? And I had no idea how to paint a mural. I mean, they don't teach you that in school. They teach you how to paint little, you know, right, just 8 by 10. So I was like, gosh, how do I paint a mural? So I went to the bookstore.
Like in the baby room?
That's a baby room. That's what I do a lot of, are the nurseries. Really? Where, you know, you have Winnie the Pooh and trees and
cool
safari characters. And I just picked up every book on murals and figured out how to do it and painted my first mural. Instead of just doing one wall, I ended up doing the entire room.
Wow.
So I went from doing nothing to the whole room, and, you know, she showed all her friends, and it kind of started from there. So I think it's just go for it.
How long does it take you to do something like that?
I've gotten pretty good at this, where I can do a whole wall in about a day. And I can do a whole room, depending on how much detail. It can take me anywhere from 2 to 3 days. So I've kind of got it down to a...
Do you map it out like on paper first, or you just jump right in the wall?
Sometimes it depends on the client. Some are a little pickier and they want a little more. Some say, you know what, this is what I like, this is what I want. Just kind of go for it. So if they do that, I kind of have a little bit more freedom, and I can just kind of show up and start painting and kind of see where the mood takes me.
So they'll tell you things like, I like butterflies or unicorns, and you incorporate that in there? That,
yeah, usually they'll say, you know, I want a monkey with a, you know, monkey on the back of a horse flying, you know, a kite or whatever. And I kind of just get the image in my head, and I can just put it on the wall. But usually I will sketch something out so I can have a little
bit. So then you show it to them and go, is this what you're thinking about?
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, what's in their head to get it over to my head and then on paper can be completely different.
Right.
So
And then the color scheme, you just go with what their color scheme of their furniture and stuff?
So I'll ask a ton of questions. I usually ask them, you know, do they want it very... I can do from super whimsical and cartoonish all the way to something very realistic. So I kind of go and show them samples and ask them what, you know, what kind of style would they like, what colors... Right.
So you can do style. So you're like, I like Picasso. So you can look like Picasso.
Yeah, I can copy Picasso. Or at least try.
From my seat in the studio, I'm at the very end of the table. And so I look back toward Lee, who's producing this morning. And I'm looking at the wall.
I know. I've been looking at that wall.
So do you think you could do something and even incorporate the sound barrier stuff? What do you call it?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff?
So that needs to stay, the sound barrier.
Right. The sound dampening.
Yeah, the sound dampening stuff. So you'd have to work something out, but you could envision something and do something kind of cool behind him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been looking. It's funny because ever since I started this, I can't look at a plain wall the same anymore. I kind of look around and think, okay, well, that needs a little something over there. So
now, do you have a favorite genre? Or like you mentioned, you can do something really whimsical or something more serious. Do you prefer the more whimsical?
Like what's going to be on your baby's wall?
I don't want to think that far ahead right now with the baby, but I do like whimsical. I like when I can be a little bit more creative. I love animals, so anything that, you know, incorporates happy, smiling, fun animals is probably up my alley. So I definitely, it depends. Depends what mood I'm in.
So I'm thinking also like Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy, but I don't know if you'd want to do a mural that only does one, reflects one
right,
show.
Right, we can't do that.
Oh, really?
We need like removable mural. That's your
like
next
one. Like those fat heads where you can peel them off.
Yeah, they do have those, so that's, I guess, my competition there. But you can peel those off. Mine kind of go on the wall and stay there.
Okay, so back to the business part of this, though.
Okay.
You came into our studio, and the focus of the conversation is around what you do. So very quickly we led to, hey, I wonder if it would be cool to have the thing on the wall. But day in, day out, how are you getting your work? How are people even talking to you about your work?
I've been doing this for 10 years, and to be honest, at the beginning, it is a little bit of a struggle to get any business going.
Sure.
You know, you have to be out there all the time and everything. Now that it's been 10 years, I do have a lot of repeat customers. Everyone, my focus is more kids mural. So as long as people keep having kids, then, you know, I'll start with one child and then I'll get a call 3 years later saying, hey, I'm having my second baby. So a lot of it is referral, repeat business. And as kids grow, thank God they change their mind on what they want.
Oh,
so
nice.
So a lot of times, you know, I'll paint a Winnie the Pooh mural when they're 2 years old. And then when they're 10, they want the Falcons, you know, sports stadium or something like that. So it gives me a little bit of,
so
change it
profile,
up a little bit.
So that's the profile, fertile women,
right?
Yeah.
That's the ideal client, right?
As long as they keep having babies, I say, you know.
Now, is it sometimes you get their friend will come in and see that, and then they'll say, hey, can you do that for me? Is that like how organically your business grew?
It grew from, that's the main way, I would say. I do have a few ads, you know, online and things like that, but the main thing is when you see it, it doesn't compare to when you see it on the website, because when you see it up big, it makes an impact when you're seeing a 10-foot by 10-foot painting, and so a lot of times it's friends and family that come over, and they see what I've done, and they're like, gosh, okay, well, can you do the same? And I usually say, okay, not exactly the same, right. So it's not copying, you know, your neighbor's mural, but doing something, and I'll end up in a neighborhood for months at a time because one neighbor will show the next neighbor, and then it goes down the line, and so thankfully, you know, people like to show off.
Has there been ever a time where you're like, I'm not going to do that? That's too crazy.
I have had, it's funny because I get asked to do a lot of different jungle murals.
Right.
And one time they just wanted this gorilla room and it was for an infant. I was like, gosh, that baby's going to have nightmares, you know, like these big, huge. So I ended up drawing all the gorillas with, you know, big smiling, but sweet smiling face. And I put little butterflies and they're looking, you know, just anything. So I have had some requests where you're like, gosh, what are they thinking, you know? But that's how I do get business, like whatever you want me to paint, whether I like it or not, you
right.
know?
It's not your taste, it's theirs ultimately.
It's theirs.
Right?
So I think that's where I get more of the businesses. I wait for them to tell me what they want. And so if you look at my website, it has such a big gamut of
Like in your house, you have murals in your house?
I don't have a single mural in my house. You know, they say a waitress doesn't, you know, like to pour coffee for her husband at home. I get home and I paint every day, so I can't even think of that when I get home.
Is it home. Do you paint for fun, like for just like relaxation, or is it more of like it's your job and you just...
You know what I want? I've been busy enough to where I've kept busy, you know, day in, day out, so... I almost want to not be as busy so that I can have time to paint what I want at home. But I have started to paint a little bit.
Like for leisure, just for your
own? For leisure. Right. And that way I paint. I think that'll get to the next level where I'll paint what I want and then, you know, sit on the corner and see if someone will buy what I think, you know, looks good.
Is it how you imagine? Is your career working the way you imagine it when you were younger?
You know what? When I decided to be an artist, I went to art school. I didn't know what direction to take, and that's why I studied art. And then I actually had 10 years where I did everything else but art because, again, I didn't know what to do with it. And usually, you know, you hear the starving artists and how do I make money at it? So I didn't know exactly in what direction, but I'm actually enjoying it a lot. And I think, you know, down the road, I think I will go the direction where hopefully I'll start painting what I want and maybe end up in a gallery showing my designs of whatever, I don't even know what it is, whatever I decide that, you know, moves me and I can create, and probably on canvas, not on the wall, so I can actually put it somewhere. So.
And then at the garden party, like the one I went to a couple of weeks ago.
They had artists there, right?
They did have artists there, and you could say, well, I just acquired a Rosie. Do you have a Rosie?
Is it a Rosie or a Falcone?
Yeah, well, she hasn't decided yet.
I know.
She's got to decide how she's
going to
brand
it.
So very creative, fun, and not much of a leap to think about this for the bonus room or the playroom or something like that. But what about the more formal room? There is an opportunity to do some sort of mural in the more formal spaces, right? Have you ever done something like that?
Oh, I have, definitely. Like I said, I focus a lot on children's murals, but I also do faux finish, so I can do Tuscan landscapes. I've done playrooms, game rooms, you know, where they have their card table, and I did a Las Vegas scene.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So the strip with the big Vegas sign and
I
everything.
I want the Rat Pack in the background.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. So so cool. It's not just for kids. You know, you have to be a kid at heart.
What about businesses? Do businesses ever hire you, like, to do those kind of things in their restaurant or in their...
Oh, it's funny you said that. I just did a business mural, and it was for an office building, and they own different Popeye's Fried Chicken and Burger King's and Krispy Kreme, and they wanted a Louisiana-style mural in their office just so when employees came in, he's from Louisiana, and, you know, I ended up doing a whole wall and sprucing it up so I can do any kind of mural for any kind of business, so.
Yeah. So our other guest, Ron, he's jumping up and down his chair. He's got a question
but he doesn't know how to go about it.
Fire it up, man. Your mic's open. You got a question?
Oh, no. Actually, Rosie and I were talking in the lobby, and yeah. You know, it's like, well, gee, what, you know, are you here for this too? So we were talking about it a little bit, and she said, you know, I do pet murals. And I said, wow, let me see, because we have a beagle, you know, and everybody loves their dog and their
cat.
And she told me she has two dogs and a cat, and
memory.
Where is that? Take that out. So she does, you know, animals.
Oh, wow.
I do.
Oh,
everybody loves animals. So.
And that is my side business, which I started last year. And the name of this, it's under Falcone Designs, but it's called Whimsical Wascals. So
that's cool.
And so I'll take a picture of any, you know, cat, dog, horse, rabbit, and I can turn it into a work of art. So
wow,
I just brought a little picture of my little chihuahua here.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You know, when Ron and I were talking about how people, you know, all love their animals. So that's another, you know, if you don't want it on the wall, I can create a little work of art of your little pooch.
And you've expanded into you've illustrated a book, yeah?
Yeah,
tell us about that.
Okay, so here's the book. It's called I Can Fix America, 52 Common Sense Ways You Can Make the United States Great Again.
Right.
And so it was a project with my fiance, and he said, you know what, I have this idea for a book, and obviously I'm an artist, so it worked out, you know? So I did all the illustrations, and
Now the illustrations are black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So was that, tell us about that decision. Was that just a cost decision, or you just felt like that was more in keeping with the tone of the book, or what drove that?
Yeah, the whole premise of the book is simple ways, again, that you can improve the United States, and we came up with the idea that with the simple ideas, kind of just simple little black and white cartoon illustrations would kind of make the, you know, go along with the words.
Well, let's do one. I know we're on radio here, but let's describe, let's pick a simple idea and then walk us through the idea and then tell us how you chose to illustrate it. That could be a fun thing. Incidentally, for the listeners who didn't catch it, we actually have had the author of this book, Sir Dooley.
Oh,
right?
Yes, of course.
But I'll tell you, you're way more impressive.
You certainly are.
Thank you. I'll give you $1 at that. Okay, so let's see. There's one here. I can lose weight if I'm overweight or quit smoking if I smoke, knowing that this will not only benefit me and the ones who love me, but also help reduce health care expenses throughout America. This is a big one, obviously, with our health care.
So he told you that, or who came up with that way to fix America? You probably did. He put his name on it.
Yeah, he put his name. It's obviously all my ideas.
It's all Rosie.
Right. So, like, between both of you, someone came up with that idea.
He came up
with
the idea.
We'll say him just because, but we know the truth. And so now you have that, and then now you had to come up with the illustration for it?
Yes. So on some of them, and I wish I would have brought those in, he had a clear ideas to what he wanted me to draw, and they were stick. I mean, if for someone who says they cannot even draw a stick figure, it's David. So he would just draw a little stick figure.
Like,
and
I'd
kind
like
of
it to look like this.
Yeah, and then I'd kind of look, and I was like, why I can't even understand this, you know. But and then some I kind of came up with my own idea. So this one is of, you know, a person who's actually smoking on a, you know,
and
scale.
They're standing on the scale. And the perspective is unique, guys.
So that was my idea. Yeah. That's why I went to that one.
It's like you're at the hanging on the ceiling and you're looking down on the top of their head. That's really cool. And then there's a caption there,
Yeah, and then he comes up with all the captions.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Sure.
But, oh, it says, whoa, I really need to do something about this while he's smoking and, you know, reaching 350 and, you know, complaining about
healthcare. Do you see yourself doing more of this, kind of drawing somebody else's words like that?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed this. I like being able to transform words into images. Right. So I would definitely...
Like a collaboration like that?
I would love that. And I've also thought about writing my own and then, you know, illustrating my own. So
like a cartoonist, the Far Side. You do animals, so you can do like the Far Side.
Like that. I've always wanted to do... children's picture books.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's probably going to, and it's always been in the back of my mind, this is what I want to do. And
Like an illustrated
picture book. So
right.
Well, you got to get with Lee after the show because he's going to do a book called Leeward.
Oh,
and he's got all these little sayings and a unique perspective.
But I have written several children's books.
Have you gotten a...
But I've never had a... I can't draw.
Oh, okay. See, so, well, that's where you and I,
can
you know.
Send you the book, and you can check it out.
I would love that.
See if there's something there.
Yeah.
So what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you, learn more about your work, and maybe sit down and engage you in a project?
Okay, if they go to www.falconedesigns.com, they can go on there and send me an email or just call me. Can I give my number?
Sure.
Absolutely.
770-843-0790. And, you know, call me with any project you have in mind. Like I said, I do corporate. I do residential. I can illustrate a book. So
dogs,
babies. Cats, babies, just about anything.
The whole family.
Yeah, anything that you can visualize and we can talk about, I can usually put it on paper or on a wall.
Well, and we're going to hook you up with a fertility clinic or two. And
that's
going to be our marketing path, right?
Have a baby, get a mural.
That sounds great.
That's right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. That's fun. That's fun stuff. How about hanging out with us for a little bit?
I would love that.
Yeah, we're going to visit with this other gentleman. What did you learn about art, Lee?
It's hard. I can't do it. I'm like her fiance with the stick figures.
Right. So our next segment is going to be a lot of fun as well. We are going to be visiting with a gentleman with Drive for Research Foundation, Mr. Ron Rizzi. Welcome back to the studio, man. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Stone?
Are doing well.
Good.
So tell us a little bit about this organization. What are you guys out there trying to do for folks?
Well, it's really very important. It's a very unique project. It has to do with raising funds for brain tumor research. And there are multiple kinds of brain tumors. And the interesting thing is that if I asked you what month this is, your reaction immediately would probably be May.
Right.
And a few weeks ago here in Atlanta, my wife had prepared diligently for weeks, eating pasta and running around the neighborhood, preparing for the Susan G. Komen, you know, breast cancer race for the cure. And it, May is not breast cancer month. October is the month to go pink. And May is actually Brain Tumor Awareness Month. But unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be much awareness.
So, you guys need a better PR person?
Well, you know, the irony is there are some large organizations that that are involved in doing just that. And we're a very small organization. And I have some media experience. I did rock and roll radio for a dozen years, actually 14 years up in New York in a number of different radio stations, including college radio. And then with my technology experience and firsthand experience, because I'm deaf in my right ear from an acoustic neuroma, which is roughly 15% of the wonderful brain tumors that people can get, you know, this is you know, a serious project from a number of different life experience levels, both professionally and personally.
So you want to talk about your event?
Well, the event is pretty cool. I have been involved in a number of different automobile motorcycle things over the years, and being a car enthusiast, motorcycle enthusiast, what I've done is I've kind of steered this towards a new terrain, if you will, simply because car shows, those kinds of events have a tendency to only raise a certain amount of funds. And I have very lofty goals, and my friends think I'm a little on the crazy side, but that's okay. Usually you have to be to take this kind of a leap. And the way this works is it's a combination of terrestrial radio and working with broadcast stations and driving your car to drive research for brain tumor awareness. And so we have a couple of different monikers, if you will. One of them has to do with why I'm wearing the pink shirt today, because most people have told me, Ron, you know, you should do what you're doing for Susan G. Komen. And I said, well, you know what? That's a great cause, but you don't know that this is a Brain Tumor Awareness Month, so this is more important. And being that kind of a spokesperson, the idea is that gray matters more than you think, and we're talking about gray matter, your brain. And so that's one way to get to our website, graymattersmorethanyouthink.org. And then the other side of it is the drive for research piece, which ties into radio. And having done rock and roll radio, we're working on getting to radio stations here in Atlanta and around the country to get them involved in drive time, which having been in the radio business, morning drive time, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., you know, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., everybody's in their car in Atlanta. I mean, if you want to go to a car show, all you got to do is sit in 400 at 8:30 in the morning. You'll see every Nissan and every, you know, Chevrolet that you've ever wanted to ever see. So you don't need to go to a car show to do that. You just sit in your car, listen to your radio, turn on the air conditioner, and then the idea is to pledge the miles that you drive. So instead of eating pasta and running around the subdivision, you know, and doing that, which is a good thing, but
sure,
something we all do in a very, very broad sense, the fact that there are millions of us across the country that do this every day. And if we get a very, very small percentage, for instance, there's only 18,000 runners in Atlanta in the race for the cure.
Right.
And that's about 0.03% of the population.
How many drivers?
Well, 4 million. Registered vehicles, right. Maybe 2.5 million, 3 million car drivers, not counting the trucks that pass through.
Right.
And so if you had 3%, 0.03%, you'd look at 60,000 people. And if 60,000 people cared enough to pledge their miles over a 5-day period, and it doesn't have to be in the month of May, we can do it in August, you know, with the radio station, doesn't make any difference.
Right.
And if they would do that, then we would make a significant dent in raising funds for Emory here in Atlanta, and also Preston, Robert Tisch, Duke in Raleigh, which are two medical institutions that I'm connected with initially to get this off the ground. And so you can make a very serious dent in a very, very short period of time. And then the other beauty is that car shows can be a real pain in the neck after you put all that effort into it and it rains. And so I laugh and say, well, you know what? We can do this in January. And if the guy on the radio says, you know what? We're expecting snow. Who cares?
Right, right. So what's the infrastructure behind? Is there a form you fill out? Do you go to the website, or is it just kind of the radio guy during drive time? They're reminding me about it, and I'm keeping a log in the car. So how's that piece of it work?
Well, we've made that really easy, too. We've really taken advantage of technology. I spent a good 30 years in technology working for Hewlett-Packard, the American Management Association. I've done everything from technology consulting and training and so on. And so in developing this new website, what we've done is we've worked closely with PayPal to be able to process securely the donations that get done on the website. But what's neat about it is that when you go to the website, you can use SSL directly on the website to make your donation, or you can use text messaging and SMS or smartphone messaging through PayPal to make donations directly to the organization. So what we've done is we've stretched this way across both technology, radio, drive time, and mobility. So we've brought in the mobility aspect of being able to use that BlackBerry pad that you were talking about earlier.
The playbook.
Exactly. Well, it's still a pad, no matter how. It's a playbook.
Yeah.
Which is a little on the sports side. Mm-hmm. Sounds like, you know, we're gonna take the playbook
the
and run. We're gonna
exactly.
We're gonna go over
run
the last
plays to raise money
exactly.
for your cause.
There
okay,
you
so I want to walk this through and make sure I've got my arms around this thing and play it out. In a perfect world. Someone through Twitter or social media or what have you might get wind of this through this interview, maybe because we've had this conversation. Then next week they're in the car and they're driving into work and they hear on conventional terrestrial radio one of the jocks talk about this, or maybe you're being interviewed on that. And so it's reminding them to do it. And they say, okay, I'm going to pledge X amount to for every mile I drive for this week or next week or what have you. And then at some point during the week, they're going to get on your website and or when maybe when the week is over, they're going to get on your website and say, okay, look, it looks like I drove 223 miles and I pledged 50 cents a mile or whatever. And then they're making their payment. Is that the plan?
Here's the beauty of it. You got it. And that's in a nutshell, there's three different ways to do it. But you've got the idea exactly. See, the thing is some people may want to just make a one-time donation.
Sure.
So they'll send a text message and they'll go to the website. Another way to get there is dailydrivetosurvive.org. And that'll take you in and get you to all the different places that you want to read about. And it'll also get you into to be able to donate. Or you can do it directly with your telephone. But you can pledge once, because some people want to do that. Or you can pledge based on an incremental mileage. So we've made it very easy by doing $10 for 10 miles or 20, 25, 50, 75, 100 to make it real simple, real easy to do it that way. Or what we like to call the road warrior. Someone that, you know, gets up in the morning, you know, and they're listening to that radio station and the guy's going, look, we're doing this today through Friday. And so, you know, how many dollars can you pledge and raise, you know, while you're stuck in traffic on 575 between now and Friday afternoon? And so if they go and pledge the miles that they drive, exactly the miles they drive, they can easily go to the website, you know, and again, use the same mobility technology to be very accurate. Like you said, 223 right. miles, a dollar a mile, 50 cents a mile. So we've given each individual, you know, how you might perceive this and say, well, I only want to do it once because it's too complicated. Or I want it easy and I want to do it. Just tell me how much, you know.
Well,
or,
I can give you a perfect example. I think for me, I'm the guy that would just go in and say, hey, I'm going to give $50 to this, $100 to this. Or if
sure.
I had Lee's pockets, you know, $1,000 or what have you. Mm-hmm. But I've got a kid that just got her permit. So we're doing a lot of drive. I'm a big believer and I want her to drive a lot this year with me. So we're on the road all the time. And I think this is a fun way to get her involved in philanthropy and supporting meaningful causes. So I can see doing the more drawn out thing where we really track the miles and all that with Kelly. And so I can see where it would be very attractive to have this mechanism in place. I want to talk a little bit about where the money goes, what kind of problem we're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. Speak to that some more, if you will.
Yeah. Well, when you put something like this together, the first thing that you learn is there's two sides to it. One is that it's very complicated. I've been involved in a variety of careers throughout my life. I was also a teacher for Fulton County Board of Ed.
You can't hold a job, can you?
No. I've done an awful lot of things. It's just the way it is. And over the last 10 years or so since the tumor, you know, I taught for 2 years at Alpharetta Milton High School Business Law. And so when you organize something like this and create a Georgia nonprofit, file for a 501c3 application, do federal trademark applications, it's complicated stuff. And so in essence, where the organization is at the moment is kind of in that space where, you know, as a member of the Georgia Center of Nonprofits for a few years myself, it's like, well, do you go and fund, you know, through a grant from a major corporation? And they look at something like this and say, well, you know, you don't do brain tumor research. You know, you're having a fundraising event. And so then the other side of it is, well, if you don't do that, then how do you fund this? Because it's a business. There's expenses to be dealt with. And so the way it's currently structured is under something called the Charleston Principles, which means that initially there are no salaries, and everything that's been done and organized has been done for the goal in mind, because I've been very, very serious about this and dedicated to this for a number of years. And so where the funds will go is once we get this thing on the radio, you'll find that the majority of the funds are going to go exactly where they need to. So when you look at organizations, and I'll leave them nameless, sometimes you'll go to GuideStar and, you know, it'll say 60 cents of every dollar goes to X. Right. That's not how this will be. When we get to the point where we do have a G&A and we have an actual operating budget and people can be hired for positions and such, my goal is 18%, which is kind of nominal in the nonprofit world from a general administrative standpoint. But the majority of the funds will go, for instance, here in Atlanta, to Emory. And what we're looking through the Southeast as well is the Preston Robert Tisch Center, because they do some very serious accelerated brain tumor research. I was invited up there to present this project to them back in October to the Board of Advisor group in Raleigh. And so I met with them and spent some time and gave them an idea of what we're trying to accomplish. So and I've also met with researchers talking about polio receptor viruses, where they actually take the polio virus and create a, believe it or not, receptor that would actually attach itself to the brain cancer cell, and then the body would then realize that this is a foreign problem, you know, inside the body, and attack it appropriately, because it doesn't do that with brain cancer cells. So there's some rocket science in here. There really is.
Now, is your organization like constantly on the lookout for sponsors?
Yeah, well, of course. My goal is not to use my retirement account any longer. Is really to find a national sponsor. You know, mm-hmm. we've talked to some very, very large, you know, fuel companies, gas and oil, and so on. And unfortunately, they don't understand it, or they say, well, that's not something that we will support.
Right.
And there's an irony here, and part of it also is that. That irony is well, gee, you know, it takes money to raise money. It takes ingenuity and, you know, Yankee ingenuity, Southern ingenuity, Western ingenuity. It doesn't make any difference. You know, it takes innovation. It takes creativity.
Sure.
And so what this is based in is the idea that taking it to radio can work to find the sponsors, to get the sponsors on the air, because mm-hmm. I was in radio for 14 years and did this sort of stuff for the Heart Association and cystic fibrosis.
Right.
And so the idea is you can envision a morning drive radio commercial for a sponsor. It could
sure.
be, you know, a fuel oil, Chevron. It could be Georgia Power. It doesn't make any difference. And then afterwards, you tag that with a 10-second spot and say, here's what we're doing. You know, we're asking you to drive for research this month. And this week, especially if you will pledge the miles that you drive for brain cancer and brain tumor research, then essentially what's going to happen is we're going to be very, very successful in doing that. And the sponsor and the advertiser has the adjacency with the logical lifestyle automobile, you know, whether it's an automobile dealer, whether it's Ford or Kia, whoever it is, right there where it matters, while somebody's captive in their car, stuck in traffic, listening to the radio, listening to drive time to drive for research.
Good stuff.
So what's the best way for our listeners to learn more? Is there a website, phone number, that kind of thing?
Pretty easy. Actually, if you go to Bing and search on Pledge the Miles You Drive, you'll find plenty of listings in the search engine there on Bing. DailyDriveToSurvive.org is one way to get there. GrayMattersMoreThanYouThink.org is another way to get there. Pledge the Miles You Drive is another way to get there. And then also DriveForResearch.org.
I think he's got all the bases covered.
I think you got that. Well, thank you guys so much for being part of the show today. And thank you, Stone, for being the co-host. And this is Lee Cantor We are signing off at Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next time.